faithful and know that God is for you. Know that God is with you. God will never leave you. God is going to show up and show out in your life. Amen. You're going to be getting up testifying, you know, like you thought you never testify before. Amen. Amen. So I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for what he did for me. I'm grateful for this revival. I thank God for the word last night. I thank him for the word on Friday night. I thank him for saving my son and his daughter. I mean, I got a double fold pack, but God ain't through yet. He ain't finished yet. He gonna sweep over my house. Amen. God gonna sweep over your house. I know y'all waiting on husband, wives, children, these people come in. God gonna sweep over. God, when God say something, man of God say, when God say something, God ain't gonna renege on his word. If he's a brand plucked out of a fire, that's just what he is. Amen. That's just what he is. We can't look at what he is now. They ain't the finished product. Amen. God's still working on them. Amen. So let's give God one more good clap offering. Let's give him one more good praise like he deserve it. Amen. Like he deserve it. Like God deserve it. Hallelujah. Glory. Man, when my son was playing sports, man, they couldn't sit me down. Could they, Tawana? They would say, Mr. D's, I'm supposed to be keeping the yardage. And my son break, I dropped the thing where he started from, and I started running with him. Go, 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 2-8, go, 2-8. How come I can't do that for my God? Go, JC, go, JC. Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Go, 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 go. Do it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, they couldn't sit me down out there in the basketball courts and football fields and baseball fields. They're like, man, you were a mess. Well, that's my child. What you think God is saying about you? Those are my children. They belong to me. Amen. God is proud of you. Hold your head up. Amen. Don't bow your head down unless you're in reverence to him. Amen. I'm going to pass this mic to Pastor Richardson. We want to thank God for him this morning. Thank God for his wife. Thank God for Pastor Davis this morning. All of the saints, we just give God glory for this man. Come on, put your hands together so he can bring the word. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Come on, you can do better than that for Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that for Jesus. Come on, you can do better than that for our Savior. Come on and praise him. Hallelujah, he's wonderful. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands up and tell the Lord thank you. Come on, don't be ashamed. Come on, everybody. Come on, just tell the Lord thank you for how good he's been to you. Praise the Lord. Come on and magnify him. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. Come on, don't be ashamed. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you, Jesus. I wouldn't tell you to raise your hand if the Bible didn't say do it. I wouldn't say shout hallelujah if the Bible didn't say do it. But the word of the Lord commands us, everything to have breath, praise the Lord. Come on, praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. If God has done anything for you, this is your opportunity to praise the Lord. If you can't praise him in the house of the Lord, where else you gonna praise him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Lord, I look back over my life and I see how good you've been to me. How merciful you've been to me. How kind you've been to me. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Mighty God, I love you. I honor you, Savior. I thank you for your goodness. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God. I thank God for who he is in my life. And, you know, I, like some of y'all, I used to be shy. And you might not think that, but it was a time that I was shy. He say, you? Yeah, me. I wouldn't move at all. I did love the Lord, though. I just was shy and felt kind of shame sometimes, you know, like what people going to think about me if I just start jumping up and got my hands up and doing all that, you know. But one day the Lord got a hold of me, and he just shook me around, threw me around. I flopped around. I jumped around my brother so much that they said I looked like Bruce Lee. They said I was kicking and going crazy. And they said, what you just had, you know what you just had? I said, what was that? They said, you just had a Holy Ghost fit. Anybody ever heard of that, a Holy Ghost fit? Back in the day, that's what they called it. And I just went crazy. And from that day forward, I lost all of that shameness. I mean, I said, well, Lord, if I could look crazy like that in front of people I don't know, then I'm not worried about for those that I do know. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I know how it is, but God, you know, your praise is an expression of how you feel about him and what you think about God. Don't ever let the devil make you feel like you shouldn't raise your hand or you shouldn't say hallelujah. You shouldn't praise the Lord. That's how you feel about Jesus. Praise the Lord. And if you can't do it amongst the saints, where are you going to do it at? Praise the Lord. You can say, well, I'm just going to be at home and I'm just going to express how I feel about him at home by myself. He wants you to do it in front of everybody. He wants everybody to know how you feel about him. Some of y'all who got husbands and wives, what if your husband didn't ever want to say anything good about you? At home, he talking about how he might love you. Get out in public, and they ask you about, what you think about Sister Tawana, Brother Al?
Well,
yeah, she's a woman. That's right. You know, but when they get out in public, that's my wife. Just like he said, God gave me a good wife, a safe wife. Praise the Lord. And I'm sure that made her feel good. That make you feel good when he up there talking good about you like that, don't it? So how about Jesus? How you think that make him feel when we say he's a good God? He's worthy to be praised. He's been good to me. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his grace. That's what we should do. We should be willing to give him praise and give him honor. Praise the Lord. And I can't make you do it. You know, like Sister Brittany was saying, I know y'all want me to shut up, but I'm not. Like Sister Brittany was saying up here, she was right. There is no reason that a child should stand up with a tambourine and you sit there with your hands plastered to your side, lips closed, like God hadn't done anything for you. There is absolutely no reason you could. I mean, you think about it. You want people to say, oh, he's saved, she's saved, they got the Holy Ghost. How would we know? How would we know if there's no expression coming out of you? How would we know if you're not showing forth anything that reveals what you have? The Bible said that the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead be in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He'll make you raise your hand. You should want to anyway. He'll make you put your hands together. He'll make you shout hallelujah. That should be a part of our salvation. Praise the Lord. Nobody should have to pump and prime you. When you look back over your life, how many can say that God's been good to you? Well, why don't you just give him a praise then? Come on. You say, Pastor David, don't make me do it. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Come on. Why don't you just go ahead and give God a good old praise? Stand to your feet. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. I believe he's worthy. I believe he's worthy of it. I believe he's worthy of it. You say, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it. You just have to know it. Hallelujah. Come on, close them eyes and just tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the nails in your hand and in your feet. Thank you for the crown of thorns on your head. Thank you for the spear in your side. Thank you that you went into that grave, Lord. Thank you that you didn't stay there, but you rose up on the third day just for me, Lord. Thank you for bringing me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you for saving my soul. God, I appreciate you, Lord. Come on, somebody thank him. Come on, thank him. Come on, thank him. Come on, thank him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, come on and express your praise, your honor to him. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Worthy are you, Jesus. God, I praise your holy divine name. Oh, God, I appreciate you here tonight, today, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for healing our bodies. Lord, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. For all the time you spared us, Lord, we thank you for it. Help us never to take it for granted. Oh, God, we thank you. Give the Lord one more big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. And why don't you walk around and shake somebody's hand and say, our God is worthy to be praised. Come on, walk around and shake somebody's hand and say, our God is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy of all the praise and the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Mighty God, Counselor. Hallelujah, Lord. God, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is worthy of all praise and all honor. The Bible said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, our God is worthy of all the praise. Praise the Lord. I believe in audience participation. Praise the Lord. That's right. I do. I believe we come to church to participate. You know, you get out what you put in. The Bible said, what's of a man sow, that shall he also reap. And some people think, oh, I'm just coming to church to listen. That's not true. That's not, you're not just here to listen. You're here to give. You got something to give today. It could be your attention. It could be your amen. It could be your praise the Lord. It could be thank you, Jesus. You got something to give in the house of the Lord to make the service be what God wants it to be. Praise the Lord. So I do thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for Jesus, who is my Savior, my Lord, my King. I thank him for all that he's done for me and how he has blessed me to be with you this last service of this revival. But it's been a blessing. Thank God for last night, and looking for God to move again on today. Praise the Lord. Give an honor to Pastor Davis. God bless you. Pray good to see her today. Thank God for this woman of God. As I said last night, we go back a long way, and she's been a great help to me, prayer warrior in my corner, and I thank God I've been able to be a help to her as well and into this church from the time I just was thinking last night when I first came here. It's been better than 20 years ago, and so that's a long time, and I thank God for it. Thank God for Brother Al. Let's give him a big hand clap too, and Sister Tawana. And all the saints here, Sister Brittany, all the saints, and all the saints. I won't just call everybody's name, but I thank God for all of you. And God is wonderful. You know, anytime we could come together and worship and praise the Lord and hear the word, we should thank God for it. Because there will come a time that it won't be possible. That's right. You say, well, we have the freedom to do it, but that freedom is slowly being taken away. Whether we know it or not, laws are being put in action now that is going to try to stop us from coming together. And I know some people that may not believe that, but you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. You'll be a part of it, though. you'll be if the Lord lets you live, you'll be in the time where it happens. Praise the Lord. And some people feel like, well, prophets and prophecies that people have spoken over the years, that all that's just people talking and saying things. But if you know anything about the word of the Lord and things that have happened over these last few years that's preparing us for the end time, you'll know that we're there now. All of this with COVID and all of this stuff is just preparation for the end times. And so we need to be ready and prepared. And You know, you can't help that you were born in this time. You know, you, this is the time that God chose for you to be in the world. And I was watching something. I'm not going to talk on this too long, but I was watching something the other day where Elon Musk said, y'all know he's a trillionaire. Now, he said that by the year of 2036, he said there'll be no more need for money, no dollars. Dollar bills will no more. He said, right now, he said, all things are lining up for that to happen. And he said, this AI and all this that has come up now, they asked him, they said, aren't you afraid of it? He said, because what it will do, that it's taking the place of humans and doing all the things that we would normally do. He said, yes, I'm terrified. But he's the one spending all the money to make it happen. But he said, I'm terrified of it. He said, I'm afraid of it. He said, but I can't stop it. He said, there's nothing I can do. He said, it's out of control now. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I thank God that I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I thank God that I know who the real ruler is, who's really in control. That's not to say God is not going to allow all this stuff to take place that's happening now. He's going to let it. The Bible said he that will withhold will restrain until he be taken out of the way in the book of Thessalonians. He said this thing is going to be held back until the Lord moves his hand and allows it to come forth. And you can see all this just evolving and coming into fruition. Everything that we heard about is happening. So how much more should we be preparing to serve the Lord, to live for the Lord? How much more should we want to serve the Lord? I'm going to get to the word, but, you know, it baffles me sometimes. And I just, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but it baffles me sometimes how so many people don't feel like it's necessary to really get a hold of God. It's just baffling, Sister Davis. I think about it, and I said, Lord, am I crazy? Have I lost my mind? What's going on to where people don't feel like I don't have to go to prayer? I don't have to read my Bible, study the Word of God. I don't have to be a witness. I could just, you know, come to church every now and again, just live how I want to live and think I'm going to make it. Don't you know there's a devil out here that's trying to keep you from being saved, that's trying to stop you from entering in, from coming into that place that God has for us? And we can say all day long, saints of God, that I know God is going to do it. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold onto eternal life. This is not something that you should be passive about. This is not something that you should be nonchalant about. How many of you ladies got little kids, little grandkids? All right. I know my wife got a little son, 7 years old. And I will guarantee you, if somebody was to come up, now she's a quiet person. She is. She's quiet. Y'all know that already. If you didn't know it, you probably will know it. She's a quiet person. But if somebody was to come up and grab him, say, come over here now, you would see something else come out of her. All of the quietness would leave. All of that, you know, feeling reserved in my little corner, I'm going to do my little thing. All of that would leave. You know why? Because the moment required that. The time, this situation required me, I can't be passive any longer. I can't sit back here and just say, oh, just leave him alone, leave him alone. No, I have to stand up. I have to be aggressive now because this is my child. This is my, how many feel where I'm coming from? This is my little boy. And some of you mamas know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. This is my child. You're not going to just talk to him any kind of way. Fact about it, you better get your hands off of him right now before I put hands on you. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're going to get a grip. Well, let me tell you something. That's where we at now. That's where we at. It's no time to be passive and say, well, I guess it's going to be all right. The devil going to leave us alone. The devil ain't going to leave you alone. He ain't going to stop. In fact, the Bible say it's going to get worse and worse. So if it's going to get worse and worse, I need to get out of my little quiet state and say, Lord, it's time for me to get aggressive. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you're going to take it by force, you're going to have to get violent. That's violent in your praise, violent in your prayer, violent in your Bible reading, violent in your reading and your witnessing, violent in your preaching and your teaching. You're going to have to get violent about this thing. This is not a time, man. If you come, how many soldiers we got in here? If you're a real soldier, raise your hand. If you're a real soldier, you need to act like it. I don't want somebody on my side. You talking about you're a real soldier, but you... I'm like, you got your weapon? Now, I don't want to have to shoot the enemy for you and me. I need help up in here. Praise the Lord. I said, I need help up in here. You need help. The Bible said one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight. We got to be helpers one to another. It's no time to be passive in this thing. We got to be willing to fight for it. Man, you got something to fight for. My God, it's time to get on our knees and pray. It's time to push the plate back. Time to seek the Lord and say, God, we need a revival. We need a move of God. Y'all read in the book of Joel. And the book of Joel, the Bible said the vine is dried up. He said the meat offering, the drink offering has been taken away from the house of God. He said the joy of the Lord has withered away from the house of God. You see what's going on. There's no more joy of our salvation. But we need to get back and say, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Give me my joy back. Put joy back in the house of the Lord. Well, how did the Bible say they would get it in the book of Joel? He said, get between the porch and the altar and cry out, spare thy people, O God. Give not thy inheritance to reproach. Move by your spirit. Save my children. Save my loved ones. Deliver in my house, O Lord. I mean, look how Cornelius got it. He got a move of God. But the Bible said he was fasting, praying. The Bible said his alms and his prayers came up before God. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up before me. Your prayers are heard, Cornelius. And it got a move of God for his whole household. It got a move of God for all those that were around him. Well, if you want God to move for those around you, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to do something. If we want to see a move of God, just going through a religious motion, a form of godliness, it ain't going to get it. The Bible said in the last days they'll have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, there's power in the Holy Ghost to change your whole life around. How many can remember when you first got saved if you was on fire? Was you on fire when you first got saved? Well, some of y'all looking at me like, I wasn't on fire then. I ain't on fire now. My Lord. You should have had a fire when you first got saved. There should have been something burning. It's called a burning zeal. There should have been a fire in your soul to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you for the rest of my life. I'm going to run for you for the rest of my life. Well, if you're not careful, you'll fall into a religious mode. Just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. Just a form. But the Lord don't want us just going through the motions. He wants us to be on fire for him. Let me read something to you. Give me the book of Genesis. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21 and Genesis chapter 21. I think I'll start at verse 10. Wherefore, this is 21 and 10. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with the son, with my son, even Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her, her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Lord, help me. Y'all praying for me? Praise the Lord. I need it. Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading at verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Notice this. I want you to pay close attention to verse 23. But he that who was after the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was born by what? Promise. Which things are an allegory or similitude for the things, for these are the, which things are an allegory for these are the two covenants, the one for the, from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in where? Arabia, and answered into Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, what does that say? Rejoice what? Thou bearing that what? That bears thou. How many know when a time where we see a lot of barrenness going on? Barrenness means there's no production. There's no producing. But how many know the Lord commanded them to rejoice even in that time? Why? Because he said, I'm going to give you a word that you are going to produce. And that word will produce faith in you to believe that somewhere there's going to be a production. There's going to be fruit come forth. There's going to be a move of God that bringing forth children. There's going to be a move of God that brings forth souls. He said, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not for the desolate, hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, our children after what? After the promise. Somebody say, I'm a child of the promise. I'm a child of the promise. Listen to this. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? What did it say? Cast out who? The bondwoman. And who else? And her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. I want to read one more place. First Peter, thank you, Jesus. First Peter chapter 1. I'm just going to read two verses here. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Do you have it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercies have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to what? An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Somebody read that with me. To an inheritance And what else? And what else? Where else? It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for this time that you've given us. And as I prayed already, I pray now. Anoint me, speak to me and through me, use me for your glory. God, anoint my vocal cords, Lord, my larynx, my voice box, anoint my tongue. Lord, speak to me and through me. Use me for your glory. Let every heart be ready and receptive to the word of the Lord on today. We need your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give the Lord another big hand clap, please. I want to give you a definition of inheritance. Inheritance means an estate, possession, a prominent portion received by succession, legal right, a gift, or a divine promise. Inheritance means an estate, possession, or prominent portion received by succession, legal right, gift, or a divine promise. As I was looking up inheritance, it also, you know how you Google things and look at definitions and whatnot. It also said, from a theological sense, this is what the internet said. Unlike a human inheritance, where an ancestor must die, a biblical spiritual inheritance is an irrevocable gift, eternal blessing bestowed by God, such as eternal life, the kingdom of God, and being co-heirs with Jesus Christ. As I read that, I said, they got part of that right and part of that wrong. That's why you got to be careful when you go to ChatGPT or whatever they call it. You got to be careful when you go on the internet and think that they understand the Bible. Because it said from a theological sense, which tells me right off the bat, they're trying to say from a biblical sense, from a religious sense. They said, unlike a human inheritance where an ancestor must die, that's where I had a problem. Because it said, unlike a human inheritance where an ancestor must die, I said, I beg to differ. Because the inheritance I received, somebody had to die for it. I didn't just get this just because. Somebody had to shed their blood for it. And his name is Jesus Christ. The Bible said this inheritance come to us. He said there must first, in the book of Hebrews, must first be the death for the testament to be enforced. There must first be the death of the testator. The testament is a will given or allocated to us through Jesus Christ. But the Bible said there must first be the death of the testator. The testator is the one who enacted or gave or made the will. So he made the will, and he said, in order for me to receive this will, to receive this inheritance, help me, Lord. He said, somebody got to die. I have to die in order for somebody to receive this. Well, as the Lord began to deal with me, about 5:20 or 5, somewhere between 5:20 and 5:40 a.m. this morning. Didn't go to bed till around midnight, but I felt like I'm tired. I'm asleep till around 7:30 or so. Get up, pray, go over some scriptures. Had another message that I was already had prepared. But at about 5:25, somewhere in there, a.m., Brother Al, I was awakened and I heard a voice speak to me, and it said, cast out the bondwoman. And I just kind of laid there for a minute. And it said, the voice spoke it again, cast out the bondwoman. And so I knew where the scripture was. And so I got my phone out, just kind of put it in my phone. So I said, maybe that's something God want me to talk about later on, you know, jot a little scripture down, and I'll go back to sleep. So I tried to go back to sleep, cast out the bondwoman. I said, my Lord, I can't even get no sleep here. He said, cast out the bondwoman. And I said, Lord, if you want me to talk about this today, I said, you're going to have to help me to understand, what does this have to do with faith? What does this have to do with what you've been giving me on faith for Revival Center? He said, it has everything to do with faith. At a glance, I said, it doesn't have nothing to do with faith, Lord. But he said, yes, it does. Because the message that I was going to preach was, beware of the evil heart of unbelief. And I was going to talk about how God, he wants us to have a heart believing and not an evil heart like Lot's wife had. So I was going to talk about that. But the Lord told me, he said, in the time you live in, he said, there's going to be two different types of religious methods or ways or practices. He said, people are going to try to get to me in two different ways. He said, they're going to try to get to me through a fleshly or a carnal way. He said, but then there's those who are going to understand that this thing only happens by the Spirit. They're going to understand that this thing is spiritually discerned. You're not going to be able to move in a place of flesh, just doing it in a place of the Spirit, just doing it from a fleshly way. So the Lord began to show me in the book of Galatians. He said, you have two of them, two sons, two religious methods, and they both will produce children. He said, but one of them will get the inheritance. The other one won't. I said, Lord, help me. Because I begin to see that you can go many years thinking you're going to inherit it, quoting scriptures. You could go many years thinking I'm doing it right and end up missing out on what's most important. Can I share something with you? In the book of 1 Peter, what we read, the inheritance he's talking about, he said that is eternal in the heaven, undefiled, faded not away. That inheritance is not a car. It's not a house. Because it's something that faded not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you and me. The inheritance that our faith obtains is an inheritance that's incorruptible. An inheritance that you can drive your car and say, well, God bless me. I know God blesses us with vehicles. He blesses us with houses. He blesses us with family, spouses, and good things. And we want to pray for all those things. But all of that is going to fade away. All of it. You're not going to be married to your wife in heaven. No. That's for this earth. The car is for this earth. The house is for this earth. And if I have faith or hope in Christ for only for things of this earth, the Bible said I'm of all men most miserable. You know why? Because there's times where you lose these things. Houses burn up. Cars break down. Spouses get mad. What happened then? This is what I was basing my inheritance on. My faith. God gave me a good wife. What happened when your wife get mad? What happened when your husband get mad? What happens when they walk out on you? What you got then? But if you got an inheritance that's not fading away, they can walk out on you. You still can raise up your hand and say, I thank God I'm saved. I thank God I got the victory. See, you got to understand that you can't put your stake or your hope just in individuals. You can't put your hope in the things of this world. Why? Because they are perishing. Hallelujah. I love my wife, but she know if I got to walk alone, I know I can. If she got to walk alone, I know she can. Why? Because her faith is not based upon her marriage to me. Her faith is not based. You ever heard somebody say, if you leave me, I die. I don't know what I'd do without you. You're my world. You complete me. The devil is a liar. The Bible said he completes me, but we're complete in him. We're complete in Jesus Christ. He is the one that's holding you up, not your husband, your wife, or your kids. When you put your faith in them and them alone, you can't live for God because the devil's somewhere going to get in between that. Because you'll be having a good old prayer life and seeking God and fasting and praying and getting in your word. All of a sudden, your spouse get mad at you and say, I'm going in the other room. I'm asleep in here tonight. Now the bed get cold. Now what? Now, Lord, I can't even pray. I can't even read my Bible. You know why? Your hope was in the wrong thing. Your hope, I done seen it. I've been saved long enough now, Sister David. I done seen people in church on the front row, but when they start going through in their household, they go from the front row to the back row, then out the door. They end up not even being saved. Why? Because they didn't have that hope built on Christ. My hope, my faith is in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I stand on him and him alone. Hallelujah. That's where your hope has to be. That's where your faith has to be. You have to know that my inheritance is in Christ Jesus and what he's given me. Listen, the Bible said in the book of Romans 8, Sister Manna, could you give me that please? Romans 8 in chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans 8. In verse 17, what does that say? Uh-huh. He said, and if children, then what are you? I'm an heir. If I'm a child of God, then I'm an heir of God. Somebody shout, I'm an heir of God. In other words, I'm the recipient of what he gave through his death, through when he died on the cross, eternal life, the kingdom of God, the blessings that come with eternal life. He said, I'm an heir of that. Give me Isaiah real quick. I'm gonna go back to this Romans, but I just feel led to read Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I'm going to see what I'm an heir to. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53, and let's start at verse 1. Let's get that on the screen. I see you there. Thank you, Brother Derek. Who has believed what? Whose report is it? I said, whose report is it? See, you got to know that it's your report. See, some of us, we don't recognize it's our report. Who have believed our report? You say, how you know I don't recognize? Because you don't act like it. That's why. When you know it's your report, more Lord help me, Jesus. I know y'all don't play the lottery here. But just say somebody came to you and said, listen, I won the lottery. And I got $2 million. And God told me to give you $1 million of it. What you going to say? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. You gonna feel like God has just blessed you. And when you come to church, you're going to say, saints, let me tell you what just happened to me. God has blessed me with $1 million. Why? You got a good report. Or just say, the doctor told you, I see something, and it looks like cancer. It looks like you're going to die, and you only got a week to live. And you go home, and you pray, and you say, I got to get a second opinion. And you go to another doctor, and you go to that doctor, and they look there at the same situation and they say, I don't see nothing. You look good. Well, you got a different report. And you gonna come to church and tell the saints, I had this report that said I might have cancer, but now I came and I got a different report. And I got something to tell y'all. God has healed me. He has delivered me. I have a report from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? That report will make you act in a certain way. It'll make you talk about it when you know what the report is. See, so he said, who hath believed? our report. This is not just their report back then. This is our report now. After that, the Savior has come and given himself for us. This is your report. This is what you can shout about. See, we're waiting for somebody to come in here and get us happy to shout about it or to praise God about it or to have faith about it, to really say, Lord, I know you're doing it. But see, you got to read this for yourself. And when you read it for yourself, see, this belongs to me. This is my report. He said, who have believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Read on. What does it say? For he shall grow up before us as what? As a tender plant, as what else? As a root what? Out of dry ground, a place where nothing was supposed to grow at. He said, I'm coming up out of that ground. Praise the Lord. That means you could be dry and going through, but he said, I'm going to root out of that dry ground. I'm going to spring up where I shouldn't have been springing up. I'm going to spring up like rivers spring up in the desert, in a place where they thought I wouldn't come from. That's where I'm coming out of. And you might say, we just a little old flock here in Winsfield. Surely the Lord ain't going to rise out of us. He said, I'm going to rise up out of Revival Center. I'm going to rise up out of your house. Even though people saying nothing would become of you, watch God rise up out of dry ground. That's what Nathaniel thought when Philip went to him. Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, I don't know of anything coming out of Nazareth. But here come the Savior walking out of Nazareth. Here come Jesus stepping and walking. The healer, Emmanuel, God with us. The way maker, the one that raised the dead, healed the sick, caused the lame to walk, caused the deaf to hear. He caused the blind to see. This one came walking out of Nazareth. And when he came walking out of Nazareth, they couldn't believe that God would raise up somebody out of a lowly city like Nazareth. If you read your history, Nazareth was a poor place. It was the ghettos. It was the slums. But here come the Lord coming out of the slums of the world, coming out of the ghettos. See, you might not think you anything, but God said, you my child, you my daughter, you my son. We got this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you know what you got? This is your report. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, he should go before us as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See, it might not look like it from the outside, but I'm not looking at the outside. I'm looking at what's taking place on the inside. Read on. This next part I want to get to. He is despised, rejected a man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Go on, please. What does the next one say? Surely. Somebody shout, surely. Surely. This is where you got to claim it. Surely. 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 Without a doubt. When you feel like you're going through, surely. When the load is heavy on your shoulders, surely. He have borne my griefs. He carried my griefs. Why are you carrying them? If you believe it. Do you believe the report? We believe the report of man more than we do God. The man, doctor could come and say, I want you to read this report. Looks like your cholesterol. Looks like your A1C. Your CDC, ABC, all your, everything looks good. Looks like your blood pressure's down. And what you been doing? You've been taking good care of yourself. Your blood pressure's down. Everything, you're looking good. Everything's good. Here's your report. You say, look at my report. Ooh, I'm doing good. Oh, this says, it's just some letters on a piece of paper. And you just done took it and ran away. You telling everybody, I'm doing good. Look at my report. The doctor said, you telling everybody what the doctor said, my cholesterol's down. You don't even know if that's true or not. You just said, the doctor said, my cholesterol's down. My blood pressure's good. I'm doing good. I'm real healthy. You come in church, I'm real healthy. I'm feeling real good. You come stepping high. But when you believe that report, what about that report? What about what God said? He's greater than the doctor. The Bible's greater than any piece of paper you're going to read. See, that's the report that we need to believe in. But see, the problem is we have to believe it. He said, who have believed our report? He said, surely he have borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He said he carried all your sorrow. All that sorrow you go through in life. He said, I carry that for you. Carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is why I'm saved today, saints. I'm not going nowhere. I said, I'm not going nowhere, Brother Al. After he done all that for me, I ain't going back out there to try to carry that stuff by myself. I'm not doing it. No, Lord, I'm not doing it. Y'all can go out there if you want to. I'm going to stay right here where I know he's doing all that for me. Why? Because he done gave me that report, and he showed me he do it. He showed me he'll do it. After all I've been through, he carried my sorrow. A few years back, I went through one of the hardest trials of my life. Felt like I was going to break underneath. I'm talking about days without sleep. I would wish for the morning. The night season would go. Midnight, 1 o'clock. I would say, Lord, please let the day come. Because sleep was taken from me. So bad, I don't know if y'all have ever felt this. My nerves begin to shake. And I felt like I was about to lose my mind. I felt like I was about to break, you know, a nervous breakdown. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through this, Lord. You're going to have to help me. But you know what? He brought me through it. And I can say to you right now, he carried me. He bore my pain, my sorrows. He carried me through it. And when I come out on the other side, I came out with victory saying, Lord, I know that was you that brought me. I couldn't have done that by myself. The other day, I was just looking back on my life, my sister, and I thought about it. I said, Lord, how you brought me from Russellville, Arkansas, all the way to Sparta, Illinois, sleeping in the church, having no job, having nothing to, nowhere to live, nowhere to lay my head. But God, you supplied all of my needs according to your riches and glory. You blessed me. You helped me. You carried me. I thank you, Jesus. I can't help but praise him. I can't help but magnify him because of all he's done for me. That's the report. Read on. But he was what? He was what? Somebody shout, he was wounded. He was wounded for me. Don't just read it like that for Isaiah or the people in the Bible. He was wounded for you and for me. Can you imagine him saying, I'm going to take these wounds, all of the beating, the bruises, the nails, all of the stuff the Bible says was marred beyond measure, beyond what you could even imagine. His body was ripped open to where you could see his bones. You could see his rib cage. You could see the flesh just ripped from his body. Blood running down his body. Can you imagine going through all that for you and for me? He said, I went through that so you wouldn't have to go through that. He said, because the truth of the matter is, you deserve that. The wages of sin is death. He said, you deserve this death. He said, but I took your place. He said, I will be wounded for your transgression, and I will be bruised for your iniquity. This makes me want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to show him, Lord, I love you and I thank you. See, this is why I can't understand how people don't want to give God praise. This is why I can't understand, Sister Gwen. It baffles me. I look at people and I say, I don't know what's wrong with you. Did you read that? I can't comprehend what your problem is. Did you read that? A shy person, a shame. You should even read that and say, I can't help but raise my hand after all that. And the only way you don't feel like that, you don't believe it. But if you really believe it, when you read something like that, don't nobody have to pump and prime you. Don't nobody have to come in and raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Come on, everybody. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I know you can. You don't have to do all that. All you got to do is say, read the book. Read what he said. Lord, that makes me want to live for him. So he said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, the chastening, the beating he took for our peace was upon him. And with his, I believe that, I'm healed. That's the report. He said, I've given you, this is the report I give you. Come back to Romans real quick. Y'all bear with me a little bit longer. Where was you reading that, Sister Amanda? Okay, go back to Romans 8 and 17. Read that, please. Uh-huh. He said, if you're a child, or you're a child of God, he said, then you are an heir. You are an heir to this. In other words, this has been allocated through you, to you through his death. Well, I'm not the pastor. That don't matter. I'm not an apostle. I've not been in church for 40 years, 100 years, 80 years. That don't matter. Once you have given your life to the Lord and you become a child of God, this automatically becomes yours. You are an heir now. Hallelujah. You have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You have been just bang, just like that. He said you went from over here where your inheritance was hell, death, destruction. This is what you were going to inherit. And a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you were over here. Hallelujah. I said, in a moment, when you said, Lord, I belong to you. I receive you. I receive what you've given me. Just in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you over here now. Thank you, Jesus. Man, that made me want to do it. It made me want to shout. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It makes me get a little happy here. So just in that moment, I'm translated into the kingdom of God. And I automatically become an heir. What does that mean when you become an heir? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I'm an inheritance, the peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm an inheritance to joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm an inheritance of grace that's sufficient and grace that's abounding. I'm an inheritance of mercy that endures forever. I'm an inheritance of love that surpasses all knowledge. This is my inheritance. I have this now. See, you're looking for love and you got it. You ever heard somebody say, looking for love in all the wrong places? That's the problem. You looking for love, and you got love. You got love that surpasses all, that you can't even comprehend. The Bible said, for he commended his love toward us, that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. No greater love that hath any man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. That you can't get much better than that. You can't get better than that. So you looking for love, and he said, I've given you this love. You looking for joy, I want to be happy. I want joy. I can't find no job. I can't find no husband. I can't find no. I just ain't happy. I just don't have no joy. He said, I'm giving you joy unspeakable. He said, I gave you joy that you can't even talk about. You don't even have words to explain it. You don't have the dialogue. You don't have the words to be able to describe the type of joy I've given you. He said, I've given you, this is what I give you, and the inheritance. And think about this. What I'm talking about is just a down payment of what you're going to get. Oh, Lord Jesus. He said, it's the earnest of our inheritance. Can you imagine that the joy I got being saved is just the earnest? This is just a portion. He said, I'm just going to drop a little bit on you. How you feel? Hey, he said, how you feel? When you got saved, when you got saved, you was happy. I mean, just turned your whole life around. When that happened, the Lord said, I'm just going to drop a little bit on you. How you feel now? He said, I ain't giving you everything yet, but I'm just going, because the Bible said there's going to come a time
where mortality shall be swallowed up of life. He said there's going to come a time where all of the pain, sorrows, frustrations of life will be taken away. Can you imagine that you will never have to worry about that again? Never. No more dying. Nothing. All that is done with. You get to spend everlasting eternity with him. There ain't nothing better than that. He said, but I'm just going to give you a little piece of it now. He said, so you could enjoy now what you're getting ready to get later. And this thing gets brighter and brighter, better and better as the day goes on. Okay, let's finish up here. So he said, if children, then heirs of God. And what else he say? Can you imagine? The Father loves me just like he loved Christ. Can somebody say that? The Father loves me just like he loves Christ. Can you imagine that type of love? He loves you with the same love that he loved his son. Hallelujah. He said here, I'm a joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that? Hallelujah. Can I just read a little bit more to you? I promise I'm not going to hold you much longer. Just a little bit more. Give me Galatians, if you don't mind. Galatians chapter 3. Lord, I love you. That's why I love reading the Bible. This report that God has given us, it tells me what he's given unto me, and it everything that the devil would try to bring in my mind, this report drives it right out. It lets you know who you are, whose you are, what God's going to do for you. Oh, foolish Galatians. Read that for me, babe, if you don't mind. Uh-huh. Who have deceived? Who you been talking to? Who have you been talking to? What? Ain't, this is what the Lord said to Eve when he came. Who told you that? Who you been talking to? Who told you that you can't take it, you can't make it, you won't be able to live this life? Who told you that you were not going to be healed? Who you been talking to? He said, who hath bewitched you? Read on. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. He said, how did you receive the Spirit? Remember, I told y'all at the beginning, there's two ways, two different religious methods here going on. It's all through the Galatians. You read the whole thing, you'll see. There's two different ways they're trying to serve the Lord here. And even to the place where if you're not careful, you could be a pastor, an apostle, you could be a bishop, you could be a leader in the church and still be deceived. Because you read in there, you'll find out that Peter, he was... Paul said, I had to withstand Peter to the face because he was to be blamed. He was trying to take them right back under the law. And Paul said, I had to get him straightened out because he wasn't doing right. He said, that's not how. He said, you didn't get saved under the law. He said, you got saved through the Spirit. And so here he told the Galatians here, he said, receive you the Spirit. Read on, please. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's pretty strong language. Let a preacher tell the people now, are you just foolish?
Well, this will be the last time I come to this church. Yeah, yeah, I'm done with you. But Paul was using strong language because of what he said at the beginning. He said, listen, you've been deceived. And if I don't use this type of language with you, you're going to end up going the wrong way and you're going to end up in hell is what's going to happen. He says, so I got to tell you, you've been tricked. You've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray. He said, this is not the way to Christ. He said, did you receive this by the works? Did you receive this by the Spirit or by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You go on down and read, he said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if you yet be in vain? He therefore that ministered you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is letting him know there's only one way to get this inheritance. It's going to be by faith. It's going to be by a true relationship with Christ. And you can't do it saying, I'm going to obtain this righteousness, but I'm just going to show the Lord how good I am. I'm going to show the Lord how righteous I am. I'm going to show the Lord. No, that righteousness only come by faith. He said the righteousness, which is by faith, speak it on this wise. See, there's a righteousness that you can try to achieve on your own. But then the righteousness that comes by faith is going to come by me saying, Lord, you paid the price. You done it all. You gave me everything. I can't obtain this on my own. I believe that you done it for me. And when we receive it from that perspective, everything that God has that came through Christ is for you and for me. Brother Al don't get no more than you. I don't get no more than you. Sister David don't get no more than you. We all receive that same inheritance in Christ. You don't have to be some big shot to get it. Let me end here in Ephesians real quick. Ephesians, get me Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Thank you, Lord. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained and what? Inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is what? It is the earnest of our inheritance. What you received is just the earnest. You know, I heard somebody say, boy, I got it all. You don't have it all yet. What you got is just an earnest of what God is going to give us. Man, that makes me want to keep on going. Don't it make you want to keep going? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Jump down to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. It's something you have to know. Paul said, I know it, but do you know it? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You have to know it. Can you imagine your great-great-grandparents that left you $1 billion? Well, say they left you $500 million. They left you $500 million, your great-great-grandparents, but you don't know nothing about it. You don't know nothing about it. And you get to be 99 years old, and they say to you, did you know you was rich? Your great-great-grandparents left you $500 million. You would say, Lord, I'm about to leave here. And you mean to tell me all this time I didn't know that I had this inheritance? I didn't know what was given to me. All these years I've been sitting in church and didn't even know what my inheritance is. Preacher done preached. Sister David's been preaching for a long time. She done told us over and over and over again. Now Brother Al telling us over and over and over again. Sister Brittany, when it's her time to preach, she's saying it. And I'm coming through. I'm saying it. You done read it in your Bible. God done told you when you in your study time. And the whole time, I don't know what my inheritance is. It's a shame to be in church, to be living for God, and not know what's been given unto you. That's right. You can see when a person is not walking in what's been given to them. And it's not God's fault. It's not his fault. God is not to blame here. He's already told us, I've given it to you. It's our fault. Because we're not getting into the word like we should and believing him like we should to say, Lord, I know what you've given me, and I'm going to walk in it. So he said here, he said that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what else? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I'm going to stop at verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. When he raised him from the dead, guess who else got raised from the dead? When he set him in heavenly places, guess who else is sitting in heavenly places? He said, you sitting in heavenly, well, if I'm sitting in heavenly places with him, why am I down here acting like I don't have nothing? Huh? Why am I walking around here, shoulders slumped, head down, sad story all the time? Only way, the reason I'm doing that is because I must not know where I'm sitting at. I must not know that when he rose, I rose with him. I can't know that. I use the same thing. If you knew you had an inheritance of $500 million, you're going to act like it. Come on, somebody. I'm going to let you go in a minute. But if you knew you had an inheritance of $500, you ain't going to drive up on this parking lot in a clumpity clump, 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 clump. I look out there, and you got 3 donuts on your car. You coming up. But you got an inheritance of $500 million. I ain't going to go to your house, and the stairs, I go up the stairs, I got to skip one because one is missing. I go in the house, I can't hardly open up the door, and go in the floor is weak, and y'all, I'm not talking about nobody, but I'm just saying, if you got an inheritance, you going to live like you got an inheritance. Am I right about it? If I got $500 million, I'm getting rid of that old clunker. You can believe that. I'm going to drive up on this parking lot with something brand new. When you come into my house, you going to know he got some money. I know he got some money. When you see me walk in with my suit on, you going to say, he got some money. Why? Because I'm going to live like I got money. Well, you got more than money when you got Christ Jesus, and we need to live like we got it. Hallelujah. I said we need to live like we got it. Praise the Lord. That's why I act like I do when I come to church. I know what I got. You know what you got, brother? Look at somebody say, I know what I got. I know what I got. And since you know it, act like it. Live like it. Don't let the devil keep you down and make you feel like you don't have a right and a reason to praise God. I know what I got. What you got? I got healing. That's right. I got it. I got it. I got a good report. God told me. You have to believe that. Well, I feel that pain. I still got it.
I still got it. Because somewhere the pain got to obey. Somewhere it's got to obey. It got to line up. Your body has to line up with the word of God. If you believe the report. If you believe what God said. I'm done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Come on and praise him. Come on and praise the Lord for his good report. Praise the Lord for your inheritance. Praise the Lord for what God has given you. It's yours. It's yours. Somebody claim it right now. Put a praise on it. Say, it's mine, Lord. I believe it. I receive it. I believe it, Lord. I know that's my inheritance. I receive what belongs to me. Lord, I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And I receive it, Lord. Right now, I praise you for it. I magnify you for it. I thank you for it. Hallelujah. If you believe it, come on and give him a little bit more praise. Come on, give him a little bit more praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe God. Hallelujah. It belongs to us. And I believe it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I hope you got, as they say, I hope you picked up what I'm putting down. I hope you get what I'm saying today. Because it's not just for today. It's for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. You can say, Lord, I'm an heir and a joint heir, and I receive it. You can claim that. I don't know how many people I see in church, saints, that say I'm a Christian and I'm living for God, but that they're not enjoying their inheritance. Everything God has given, they're not enjoying it. You see them just so sad and despondent and frustrated. I'm like, that's not what God gave you. God didn't give you all that sad sob story, pain and affliction and everything. God gave you a life that where you're supposed to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you imagine that? He said rejoice in the Lord. How long? But then he didn't stop there. He said, and again, I say rejoice. He said rejoice always, but do it again. That's right, because God has given us something to rejoice about. Anybody need prayer? I'll pray for you. Anybody. Praise the Lord. Anybody need prayer? Well, I'm going to ask y'all to do something. I felt led to do this morning, and I hope y'all don't mind. I want you to come around the altar here. And I want everybody just stand up here around the altar. I'm going to pray. And I want y'all to pray with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want, if you have needs before the Lord, and you say, Lord, I need you to meet my need. I need you to deliver. I need you to heal. I believe God will do it for you today. I believe God will do it for you today. Young man, what's your name? Wait a minute. The youngest one? I thought that. He's the youngest one. I remember he was this big. He big as me now. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you here in the house of the Lord today. It is. Praise the Lord. I want you to get your heart in a place where you can really receive from the Lord. Let the Lord know right now as we pray, Lord, I'm not coming as if I'm anything. I humble myself before you. I need you more than the air I breathe, more than the food I eat. I need you more than any relationship. God, is you and you only that I'm focusing on right now. Get your focus in your mind on Christ Jesus. And let's put all of our needs at the foot of the cross and let the Lord know, God, I know you can do it. Father, right now, hallelujah, I come praying with the people of God here. Lord, like Isaiah said, Lord, I'm not saying it's just them, but Lord, I'm in this boat with them. God, we all are in great need right now. God, Lord, not only us, but even our loved ones. God, we got loved ones that are weighed in the balance. We know if they were to die today, they would go to hell. But we stand in the gap for them, Lord. Lord, we come asking you to move, Lord, over our lives, this congregation, over our family, Lord God, over our household.
God, we ask you, Lord God, to heal and deliver. Lord, you said in your word, God, you told us, Lord God, that, Lord, all of our needs shall be supplied according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, you told us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. We come knocking today. We come seeking, Lord. We come asking you, Lord God. Help us, God, to realize who you called us to be. Cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. Peel back the scales off our eyes. Anoint our eyes with eye salve that we'll see Jesus. God, we need you in this hour, Lord God. We need to see who you called us to be and what you have afforded us through the gospel. Through that death, burial, and the resurrection, Lord. We need to comprehend and understand, Lord God, what you've given us through that inheritance, Lord. Open up our mind. Open up our hearts to it, God. God, forgive us from all sin and shame. Forgive us for our lackluster attitude, for our slothfulness and our laziness, Lord. God, we've not been as fervent as we should be. We've not, Lord, been effectual in our prayer life like we should be. But I'm asking you for help today. Move, God, by your spirit. Save and deliver, Lord. Save me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. God, fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, do it for your glory. Heal my body. Make me everywhere whole. Lord, right now, move by your spirit. God, by the power of your word, heal, Lord. Lord, you see the need. You see every, come on, keep on praying. God, Lord, you said you would do it for. God, answer this request. God, answer her request, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, answer her prayer. God, her tears have come up before you. Lord, as a sacrifice of sweet smelling savor. God, in the name of Jesus, meet her need. Meet her need, Lord. Oh, God. I hear the Lord saying, put it on him. Put it on him. He knows. He knows the pain. He knows the heartache, the suffering. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. Oh, yes, he does. Hallelujah. Oh, come on and reach out to them, saints of God. Come on and reach out. Come on and reach out. Right now, Lord, do it for them. Do it for them, Lord. Move, God. Move, God. It's all right. It's all right. God knows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe he's hearing your prayers right now. He's hearing your requests. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, move my sister, Lord, by your spirit. Touch her body. Move, God, right now. Move, God. Oh, Lamb of God, do it for your glory. Jesus, do it, Lord. God, I believe you. You're a miracle worker. Work a miracle.
Work a miracle, Lord. Yes.
Work a miracle, God. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, grant a miracle here, Lord God. Oh, bashata robo kusta yala boya. He does it for you, sister. Oh, according to your word, believe the report. Believe the report. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God some praise while we're up here.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Bless right now, Lord. Touch my sister in her body.
Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, according to your word, God, I'm asking.
God, grant a miracle. God, you said, Lord, I ask.
Yes.
Lord, I believe you're a miracle worker. God, started her heart, Lord. Lord, God, give her that brave faith.
Thank you,
to
Lord.
Believe what you're capable of doing.
Thank you, Lord.
And you move, God.
Yes, Lord.
By your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Open up the eyes of her understanding.
Hallelujah.
God, help her to see the great
things
that you've afforded her and given her.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can go back to your seats. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Derek, I want to pray for you real quick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand right here. God really wants to move for you in a special way. And he's seen your labor, your efforts, your desire to help this church in any way that you possibly can. And all of that is like building blocks, Brother Derek. It's like God setting things before you to build you up and bring you to a place that he has ordained for you. Don't let anybody limit you. Don't let anybody tell you what you're not capable of. For the Lord has great things in store for your life. In the name of Jesus, even in ministry, God gonna raise you up, put his word in you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Like a man coming up through the ranks, I see. That started at the bottom and know what it means to go through the tough times. Know what it means to be on the front lines. The Lord said he's taking you up from the bottom, from the back to the front. So you have compassion. You know what it means to be in a lowly place. Oh God, like a man willing to take a low seat. Say, I don't have to be up front. I don't have to be seen. But I'll be behind the scenes and do whatever I can. Because you've taken this mindset, God said he lifts you up. Promotion coming not from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. The Lord, as you give over and give up, give in, and allow the Lord to do it, he's going to move you higher, even in this ministry. And I see that word been stirred up in your belly. Oh, God, shun not, saith the Lord, to obey me. As I give it to you, speak my word. Get in the word more. Get in your prayer closet more. Fast and seek me. And I, the Lord, will raise you up to be a great help here in this house. In the name of Jesus, for the time has come and now is. For you to shake off the fear and the worry of what man, what woman, what people would think of you. For I have called you, saith the Lord, chosen you for my own, saith the Lord God Almighty. And just as diligent as you are in the sound booth, I see God saying you're going to be diligent in these other areas of ministry, saith God. God, you strengthen him for the time. You move God in a mighty way. You stir his heart up. God, according to your divine will, do it, Lord. God, I know you showed this to me, and I know you're going to bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. I said God knows what he's doing. I thank God for you, and me and my wife, we want to tell you thank you. Thank you for the hospitality and the love that y'all have shown us. It's always such a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, and always such a blessing to be here with you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And we just feel so privileged to be among you. And we pray that we said something on these 3 days that was a blessing to you, that was a help to you. And my endeavor is just always to leave the house better than it was when I came. And I believe God has done that. Has God blessed you in this revival? Praise the Lord. I thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And what's his name again? The young man in the back? Kobe? Cody? Kobe. Okay, say Kobe. Yeah, stay B. V. Kobe. Okay, Kobe. Kobe, stay in here. Keep on coming to church, man. God going to bless all you and your brothers. Praise. I want to see all of y'all saved. Praise the Lord. I believe that if a man of God, woman of God, would stand in the gap and believe for their family. I always have quoted this to the Lord. I said, Lord, you said if I would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then me and my whole household shall be saved. I believe that with all of my heart. My father believed that. He before he went on to be with the Lord, he told me that. And it took a while. God had to shake some of us up. But all eight of us, there's eight of us, and all of us are saved. God has saved all his family. And so I know if God did it for him, God could do it for me and all of us here. So we love you. We thank God for you. I'm going to turn it back to the hands of Brother Al.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, y'all. Well, this concludes our revival. We do thank the Lord again for what he has done. And I shall see my children saved, all eight of them. I will see them because I'm an heir. Amen. I'm a joint heir. And it's just down in me now. You know, can't nobody say nothing about what they ain't going to be. I bet not say nothing about what they ain't going to be because they're going to be what God said they're going to be. Amen. Your children going to be what God said that you're going to be. You're going to be healed. Amen. You're already healed, in fact, because you're joint heir. Amen. I praise God. I give God glory for this revival. I thank the Lord for speaking to his people. I thank God for giving them a word because, you know, heaviness of a heart make it stoop. But a good word, make it glad. I'm glad about this revival. I'm so glad that we had this revival. Thank God for Brother Davis, Sister Amanda. Thank God for Pastor. Thank God for all of y'all. Did you have a good time? Did you have a good time? We can't say it was the music because we don't have none. So it's got to be the word, amen. So we thank God for the word, amen. Amen. Stand up and shake the dust off. Shake the devil off. Stand up and give God one more good praise before we take this offering. Thank God for what he did for you. Thank God for what he said to you. Amen. Because he said so much, you have to go back and listen to it all. Amen. You just can't retain it all. He said so much that's so important that you got to go back and play this over and over and over again so it can get down deep down in you. Amen. How many know that you're moving from faith to faith? I'm moving from this faith to the next faith, from this level to the next level. Also, from this trial to the next trial. Amen. Because my faith going to outlast my trial. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord today. Bless the man of God today. We're going to take tithes and offerings. Somebody already gave, I don't know. Hold up, y'all. The man of God over here on your right, tithes and offerings on your left. We thank the Lord for his obedience. Tithes and offerings on the right here. Yeah. Say tithes and offerings on the left, on your left. Tithes and offerings on the left. Yeah. Man of God on the right. Hallelujah. Huh? For him? Uh-huh. No, you don't. You don't make sure we keep up with it. We thank the Lord. I had a good time. I thank God for the word. I learned so much these 3 days. I was educated, and man, I was, you know, informed. I just thank God for what he did in here. You know, I jumped, I shout, but also I was fed. My soul was fed, and I thank the Lord for it. And so we thank the Lord for being mindful of Revival Center. We thank God for his word that's on his church. We thank God for him always being with us. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this tithes, offerings. We thank you for those, Father God, that poured out, God, of their pocket, God, into this this gift offering, God. We pray, God, that this money, Father God, will be a blessing to Brother David, his family, or whatever he needs it for, God. We pray, God, that it's more than enough, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would bless the tithes, the offerings, Lord God. Bless those, Father God, that wanted to give but did not have to give, Lord. God, we pray, God, that you would bless them anyway, God, so the next time, God, they will be able to give, God, and abundantly, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Come on, Brother David, you want to dismiss us?
Praise the Lord. You can stand on your feet. We're going to dismiss with a word of prayer. Be praying also for tonight. We'll be having service in Sparta at Road to Life Church. And Brother Al will be with us, praise the Lord, on tonight. Praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to him coming and preaching. If you can't come and be there, we ask for you to be praying for him and praying for our service on tonight. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that you have allowed us, God, the privilege to come together for this revival, these services, Lord. God, I know, Lord, what happens after revival. There's an enemy waiting, trying to cause us to draw back off of what you've told us. But, Lord, I ask you to help us to be steadfast, unmovable, Lord. God, the only thing that matters is what you said. The report that you've given us, Lord, and help us to remember that. Lord, the more we go over that report, the more we read, the more we study, the more we sit under the word, the deeper that'll get in us. It'll be rooted and grounded till the devil can't take it away. And we know it'll bring forth much fruit. We thank you for it, Lord. And God, now as we leave this place, but never from your presence, keep us hid behind your cross, covered in your blood. Keep your hands of mercy upon us, Lord. God, and those that'll be getting on the highway, please give us all traveling mercy. Watch over us, shield and protect us all from all hurt, harm, and danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.